Jeremiah 3 and verse number 12. Jeremiah chapter 3, here I'll give you some overview of it, but God teaches all through the Word of God that sin causes sorrow, always. James 1 says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God has so stacked the deck that no one breaks God's laws and gets away with it. It only looks like people get away with it, but no one gets away with it. That's taught, that we've seen that, and that's also taught all the way through the Bible. God says in Ecclesiastes, whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And Jeremiah, if you can turn me down just a little bit, maybe back to where it is normal. When you place your faith in Christ and in the Lord Jesus, He cleanses, He forgives you of your sin with His precious blood. Then I've noticed sometimes when people get saved, they have baggage. We call it baggage. In other words, we know that their past is forgiven, the blood covers it, but there's baggage. I'll give you an illustration. I led a man to Christ one time, and I said, can you come to church? And they said, I'd love to, but I can't. I have to work tomorrow. I said, do you work every Sunday? He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, how about Sunday night? We got services Sunday night. He said, I have to work three jobs. He said, 2 40-hour week and one's an extra 10-hour. He said, I work 90 hours a week. I said, why do you do that? He said, well, I've got to pay alimony and child support. He said, on 5 kids. And I went, wow. Now, when he got saved, his past was forgiven him. But that did not remove the consequences of the sin that he had to deal with from the past. And we call that, when you get saved, praise God, God doesn't see any sin in your past, but that's what we call baggage. In other words, it's just something that the consequences that you have to deal with after you get saved. And God's love and the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon the heart causes a godly sorrow after sin has been committed. And this is talking about now that you're saved, what happens when you sin? Well, praise God, it's not put on your account. However, I do know this. If you're saved, when you sin, you feel bad. That's one sign that you're saved. Is you did what you knew was wrong, or you sinned against God and God smote your heart. God said, you shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have been done that, shouldn't have went there, shouldn't have, whatever it is, shouldn't have hung around them. God's love convicts us by the Holy Spirit. You see, before a person gets saved, there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then salvation follows. When anyone gets saved, they're first convicted of what they are, then they see the free gift of salvation. God doesn't make you alive without first allowing you to see how dead you are. Amen? You have to first see your sinful condition. Our hearts have to be broken, and our excuses stripped away before God can apply the healing balm and clothe us with His righteousness. You know what's absolutely amazing? You're going to hear me going back and forth this morning from salvation to coming back to God after you're saved. And it's so amazing in the Christian life, you get saved by seeing that you're a sinner, that you deserve hell, that Jesus died for you, and if you'll put your trust in Him, you can go to heaven. That's salvation. But it's amazing how similar it is on how you get right with God once you go astray. You see yourself as a sinner. You see that you don't deserve anything but hell. It's by God's grace that you're saved. You see that Jesus did pay the price for your sins, and guess what? You put your trust in Him from that point on. One is how you get saved. The other one is how you come back to God. The name of the sermon this morning is called Hope for the Worst of Backsliders. Hope for the Worst of Backsliders. You see, God doesn't heal a heart that is unwounded. To those who have learned the evil of sin and have been crushed to the earth, God's invitation of mercy and the gospel is sweet. The Lord God has such a great love towards us. He feeds men. He supplies their every need. For years, they lived like there is no God. They never communicate with Him, but they're always dependent upon Him. And they couldn't live a moment without His permission. Ungodly men use His name to blaspheme, make a mock of holy things, and provoke the Lord God to jealousy. Yet, no matter how old they are or how long they've been ungodly, at any age, if you're broken, not only sick, but sorry, if you just come creeping in humility to God's door, isn't it amazing? He always says, come in. That's the God we serve. As you read Jeremiah chapter 3, you find that, come back. Any day you want to quit playing. Any day you want to quit running the show. Come back. Come back and I'll accept you. And when they come in, God never says, well, it's about time. Aren't you glad? God never says that. He just says, come in. Now you got to meet Him on His terms. He doesn't meet you on your terms. You got to meet Him on His. Those who have committed the worst crimes, I love this, have been freely forgiven. When Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus, the Christian killer, the one who would be called the Apostle Paul, He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou Me? And he, Paul, said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's all Jesus said. He didn't say, name the people you've killed. He didn't say, name all of your sins. He just said, it's hard to fight against My conviction, isn't it? Saul gets saved, and then listen to this. Listen how simple it was. He didn't rebuke him or reprove him. Saul was already broken. The Lord Jesus just forgave him, blotted out his sin, counted him faithful, and put him in the ministry. Our text is Jeremiah 3:22, and if you have your Bible, if you'll keep it open there, I just want you to think for a moment. Look at verse 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. In this chapter, Jeremiah 3, the word backsliding and backslidings is found in Jeremiah 13 times. But in this one chapter, it's found 7 times. 7 times. Can I just show them to you? You're there in chapter 3. Look at verse 6. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. And I saw, when for all the causes thereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away. Jeremiah 3:11, and the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Jeremiah 3:12, look at the next verse. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause My anger to fall upon you. Jeremiah 3:14, look at 3:14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you. And Jeremiah 3:22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. There's the 7 times. Isn't that beautiful? In Jeremiah, the word backsliding is found 13 times. 13 is the number in your Bible for sin. And 13 times in the book of Jeremiah, the word backsliding and backslidings is found. What does it mean to backslide? It's a simple word. It's 2 words put together. It means to slide back from. That's what backsliding means. That's profound. You might want to write that down. Okay? But the word backsliding means to slide back while facing. In other words, and really in the Bible sense, it means you fall away from your religious duty, from what you feel God requires of you. And it's backsliding because you're facing the Lord, but you're sliding backwards. And it's not that you've turned your back on God. You haven't apostatized and waved your hands. You haven't done this. You're facing God, and yet you're backsliding. And you're getting further and further away. And to those who are facing the Lord, it's similar to a cow. He likens it later on to a cow that's going up a hill. And if you've ever seen that, and sometimes if the hill's too steep, the cow will slide back. And they call it a backsliding heifer. It's the same thing. Okay? So that's backsliding. To show God's broken heart, God uses this illustration. Look at Jeremiah 3:1. Ready? They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? The illustration that God gives here is so heavy, and I'll go into it here in just a minute, but the illustration is the closest way I can let you know how my heart breaks when you backslide from me, when you aren't as close to me as you used to be. When I feel like I'm losing you is when a man feels like he loses his wife. I love you more than a husband loves his wife, but the best way I can illustrate it is the pain is similar. And here, when I read the verse, they had sinned. God says here, He says, you look at the last part, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. God says, I'm willing to be misunderstood to take you back. If the Lord takes these people back again, then won't it look like He's putting a premium on sin? If God freely forgives great sinners, won't it look like He treats sin too lightly? Judah had been worse than the woman described in verse 1. Verse 2 says that the people were gone into filthiness with a whore's forehead and that they refused to be ashamed. That's a whore's forehead. That means, I don't care what I've done. So what's so wrong with that? He said, you got a whore's forehead. He said, you've backslidden from me. You've gone away from me. Look at verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me? My father, thou art the guide of my youth. I'm not as close as I used to be in the past. Listen closely. They had sinned so much and refused to be ashamed, and God still... Beautiful. There's a lot of conviction in this chapter, but there's a lot of comfort too. And the hope is absolutely amazing. That's the name of my sermon this morning. The hope of the worst backslider is this. God still wants you back. In everything that a Christian could do against God, God still says, no matter what you've done, if you'll come back, I'll take you. So yeah, there's a lot of conviction in this chapter, but my goodness, the comfort also. And God says here, if I ask you the question this morning, how are you doing in your walk with God and your love for the Lord? Do you remember a time when things used to be better? When things weren't like they are now? You see, you played with sin and now it's formed habits in your life, and that which you just did a little bit, you now find dominating in your life. It can be thought habits. It can be character habits. Jeremiah 3:4 says you can cry out any time to your father. Daddy, I'm in too deep. God, I need to... God, I'm sorry. And at any time, you can cry out to God your father. And He'll take you back. Jeremiah 3:4, will He reserve His anger forever? The answer to the question is, will He reserve His anger forever? No. No one is as slow to anger as our God, and no one is as ready to cast away their anger as our God is either. You've gone as far into sin as you could go, and it says right there, it says, behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as you could. He said, you took sin to its farthest extent, and the only reason you didn't go deeper in sin is because you got tired of it. Otherwise, you would have went further. He said, but you went as far as you could. And yet, God says, come back. Return, ye backsliding Israel. Return, ye backsliding children. This is the kind of people the Lord is inviting to return to Him. When you see this as a call to return or come back to God, this means you first think about Him. God says, come back to me in your thoughts. When God says, return, ye backsliding children, God's saying, remember Him. No one here this morning would say there is no God. Only a fool says that. You know that there's a God. He's the I Am. He's the Creator. He's your Creator. You depend on Him every day. You're going to see Him someday. He's going to judge you someday. So if you forget other things, don't forget God. Listen to this command. Job 22 says, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint thyself with Him. And then verse 23 in Job 22 says, If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. You see, you acquaint yourself with Him by admitting that your sin is your fault. And then you admit your sin is because you don't know Him like you should. God says, return, ye backsliding children. You think upon Him. You return to Him. When you look earlier in the chapter, you see God's heart. And we read the verses there, but Jeremiah chapter 3, can I just show you? Verse 14, Jeremiah 3:14. It says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. So that's verse 1 and verse 14 where God says, I'm married to you. You say, I'm confused. Jesus, the church is the bride in the New Testament and the bride of Jesus. I know, and in the Old Testament, Israel is the bride of God. Yeah, there's two brides, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. No problem. Here, when God says, I'm married to you, this is the best picture I can give you of a devastated marriage because of adultery and fornication. The spouse has horribly left the other one. They've sinned over and over and over again. The one who knows everything that has happened says, return. I know everything. I've wept over everything. And the letter is written that says, return, and whatever you've done wrong, everything will be forgiven. They say probably the deepest pain that a person can feel is when they get married to someone and we'll give ourselves to each other and keep ourselves from all others, and then that trust is broken. I gave myself to you, and then you went and gave yourself to somebody else that is not provided for you, that is not, and you, and God says that pain is what sin is like. God says, I gave, now let's go to spiritually, are you ready? I gave myself for you. I gave myself all of you, and you went and gave yourself to sin. You gave yourself to your will. And all it's ever brought you is pain. And God says, I'm here. I'm here. That's why it says in the book of James, return ye adulterers and adulteresses to love the world and what it has to offer after you get saved is spiritual adultery. You say, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It was this. God says, to whatever degree it is, I hurt when you sin. When I learned that in the Christian life, it helped change my attitude towards sin. I didn't know that I could hurt my Heavenly Father. But when I choose other things and I give my heart to other things other than Him, He says, you're sleeping around on me. You're cheating. You're cheating. And I'm devastated. It hurts. It hurts. And God says here, I'll take you back. The spouse who is left would be insane at getting a letter and not returning. It's done in fear. Whoever it is, he or she, and I've seen both cases, then weeping and in shame, the erring one quickly responds and comes back. And first they don't think about the one who's given the invitation to come, but if you'll think about this, a man was offered a job in a faraway city as a painter. He left his wife at the house, and they had been married a couple of years. He went off, and in the city where he was at, he started making a lot of money, and he never called for his wife. He said, I'll fetch you when I get enough money to send for you. And that wife, for 40 years, this is a true story, that wife for 40 years waited for her husband. He never sent her a dime, never helped her. At the end of 40 years, he's now, he was right in his 20s, so I'm sure he's 60-something. His body is racked with disease. His living is gone. And he comes back from the city, and in 40 years, she finds him knocking on the door. He's on his knees, and she opens the door, and she took him back. I think he's probably one of the wickedest men that ever lived. And I think she was one of the sweetest ladies that ever lived. And she nursed him and helped him. He never got off the bed. He died in a little while. He died under her care. What a story. What a beautiful picture of what God does for us. You can kick against me and fight me and you drag me through the mud. But when you're ready, if you're my child, if you're saved, God says, I never push you away. And when you find yourself as a Christian, not where you should be, not where you used to be, not where you know you ought to be, God says, come back. God says, come back. This is how the Lord deals with us. Just listen closely. I know we're in the book of Jeremiah. You stay in Jeremiah 3. But Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God says, when you stopped loving Him, He never stopped loving you. Aren't you glad? God says, I have forgiven your iniquities and laid them on my dear Son. He died for you and His precious blood has washed away all your guilt. Malachi 2:16 says, the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that He hateth putting away. God says, I hate divorce. God's message of love and mercy is this, turn, Jeremiah 3:14, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. The hope of the worst backslider, I'll say it again, is that God wants you back. Isaiah 44:22, I love this, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Listen, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee, I bought you. Just like the spouse you were picturing in your mind came back to the one they had wronged, you can come back to God. Aren't you glad? Coming as a poor wandering sinner, you confess your sins to Him, wondering if there's any mercy at all. If anybody's not worth saving, it's you. Yeah, praise the Lord. All you can do is take God at His word. Return, ye backsliding children. Look at the one word. Now let me let you focus on one word here. Look at Jeremiah 3:22. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. That word backsliding. Would you think with me just for a second? God doesn't say, return you penitent sinner. In other words, God doesn't say, return when you're sorry for your sin. That's different. When you hit rock bottom and you're done playing with me, when you're done and yet figuring out that the devil's a liar, then return. He doesn't say that. He says, while you're backsliding, return while you're backsliding. When you're in your sinful state, come back. I think that's beautiful. I think that's a picture of our God. Return backsliding, children. God doesn't say, get better and then come back. God doesn't say, when you're healed, you can come back. God does say, I will heal your backslidings if you'll come back. You don't get better. Now let me switch to salvation. You don't get better to get saved. You come as you are. Then after you get saved, when you get away from the Lord and backslide, you don't get better to return to God. You come as you are. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You come that way to get saved, and if you find yourself as a child of God, backslidden, you come the same way. God, just, you mean you'll take me just as I am? I'll take you just as you are. But God, I'm so dirty. And God, I'm so scarred. And God, I feel like, just come. I'll take you back. Return, ye backsliding children. You see, come back just as you are, with no goodness, no virtue. Just come back. Come empty. Come ragged. Come filthy. but just come back. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. So cast yourself on Him. Jeremiah 3:22 says, "Return, you backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Watch this. Look at verse Jeremiah 3:23. "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills." What's that mean? Judea was a hilly country. At the top of every hill was a temple of idolatry. In every grove of trees, there was an idolatrous shrine. As people traveled, they kept looking up to the shrines because their trust was in the hills and mountains, and they never prayed Psalm 121:1, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord," not the idolatrous shrines. You see, you don't get saved when you make Jesus one of the gods in your life. And you don't get saved when you make Jesus one of the many things that you're trusting in to take you to heaven. You have to see your righteousness and your good deeds as the filthy rags that are damning your soul to hell. Then you call on Him for salvation, and He saves you. "I can't save myself. I need Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." Call. "Hey, I need, help me." "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then listen closely. When you get saved, when you see that He's the only one that can save you and you place your faith, that's when you get saved, is when you place your faith in His shed blood. Can I just tell you something this morning? I've been saved for 30 years, and to this day, there still isn't anything I have ever done or ever will do or ever will be that I could ever trust in except the blood of Jesus and His righteousness as my Savior. There's nothing. I added up how many I got to see saved one time as far as taking teenagers soul winning and taking people and teaching. And I've had, the Lord's let me have the wonderful, blessed privilege of having over 10,000 people saved. Added it up. That the number's over 10,000. There's no merit there. He let me do it. I'm not going to heaven because of that. I'm not going to heaven because of anything the Lord's let me done since I've been saved. It's still His blood. It's still the only reason I'm going to heaven. Amen? Same thing is true with you. You see, there's some things that full surrender is the only price that can be paid. And until you fully surrender, you can't have it. I believe that's coming back to the Lord. The same is, okay, when you get backslidden. When you see that your strength has not been in the Lord. It's been in the money. It's been in your companions you've chosen. It's been in your title and your position. It's been in your will instead of God's will. It's been your logic and thoughts instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. When you leaned on your own understanding and experience, but you did not lean on the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Some Christians, I am finding, only read the Bible to tell God what He should have said. No broken heart, no "dear God, teach me," no "dear Lord, show me." It's, "Well, let me see what I can criticize this time." And they, to me, the arrogance is absolutely amazing. Not, praise God, not in our church, but still at the same time, I call it an American Christianity. They think it's normal to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Listen closely. To grow spiritually, you must become as a little child who's not wise in his own eyes. Let me put it to you this way. Think just for a second. For Jesus to rule, you must give up self-rule. It's going to be your way or God's way, but not a combination of the two. That's growth now. Well, you see, when the Romans attacked a city and the people yielded to them, they usually drew up some type of declaration. And this is how it read. "Because we want mercy from Rome, we surrender ourselves, our houses, our goods, our bodies, our souls, all that we have and all that we are to be dealt with by the Roman government exactly according to its will." That surrender had no escape and it had no conditions. And that is the same thing when you surrender to God. You don't surrender to the Lord to get saved. You quit depending on your righteousness and you put your faith in Him. But let me tell you something. To grow in the Lord, it takes a surrender if you want to grow. The salvation's free. The growth, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. Freedom in the Christian life comes when you surrender or yield to God instead of fighting Him. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I think though some, they're not growing spiritually and they're backslidden, it's because they sing the song this way. I surrender a little. I surrender a little. Only a little to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender a little. Or how about this? I surrender 10%. You understand? There's no surrender that is ever partial. There's no surrender that's ever conditional. All surrender has ever been through history has been no escape, no conditions. I'm coming on the winners. God, You win. I surrender. Everything I touch turns to manure. My life's a mess. So God, I'm coming back to You, and Lord, this time I want to do it Your way. And that surrender takes you a long way in the Christian life. Return, ye backsliding children. Could God ever ask, let me just ask you this, could God ever ask anything of you that's unfair or ridiculous? You see, the surrender and yielding is by choice. I love Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, and just listen to this, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life. What a verse. He is your life. What a verse. You see, this isn't talking about getting saved. You get saved simply by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Can I just encourage you this morning? Do you know what you mean to the Lord? No matter what He means to you this morning, do you know what you mean to Him? You mean everything to Him. You cost God His Son. You mean a lot to God. That's why the Lord is saying, Jeremiah 3:22, return, you backsliding children, return, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. You see, the hope for the worst backslider, praise God, is that God wants you back. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? That's the type of God we serve. He never holds His anger forever. But it is up to You. It is up to You. Let's pray. Father, please use the truth this morning.